This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our study of Ecclesiastes with A Fool Multiplies Words, A Bird of the Air, Bread Upon the Waters, Pleasant to See the Sun, and Remember Your Creator. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Have mercy and hear us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and thine
A reading from Acts chapter 13. Brothers, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to us has been sent the message of this salvation. For those who live in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not recognize him nor understand the utterances of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, fulfilled them by condemning him. And though they found in him no guilt worthy of death, they asked Pilate to have him executed. And when they had carried out all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead, and for many days he appeared to those who had come up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are now his witnesses to the people. And we bring you the good news that what God promised to the fathers, this he has fulfilled to us, their children, by raising Jesus, as also it is written in the second Psalm, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." And as for the fact that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption, he has spoken in this way, "I will give you the holy and sure blessings of David." Therefore, he says also in another psalm, "You will not let your Holy One see corruption." For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid with his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up did not see corruption. Let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, that through this man forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you, and by him everyone who believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest what is said in the prophets should come about. Look, you scoffers, be astounded and perish, for I am doing a work in your days, a work that you will not believe, even if one tells it to you. This is the word of the Lord.
The passage that we hear comes from a sermon that St. Paul preaches on his first missionary journey in Pisidian Antioch, and it's one of several sermons that follow a similar pattern, some, as it's sometimes been called, these programmatic types of sermons. We see this first with Peter already in chapter 2, preaching to those at Pentecost, also Stephen when he preaches before the council. St. Paul here, also St. Paul three times, we can find this kind of preaching when after he's been arrested, he's being accused by the council in later chapters of Acts, comes before Felix and also Agrippa. And Luke records these sermons in particular because it appears to be this is how the evangelistic message is brought first to people who haven't heard it before. So you can see, and these sermons are preached both to Jews and to Gentiles. In this sermon, even we hear him referring to his brethren and also those who fear God. So you have on the one hand, the context of here is who know the history of Israel. And in those cases, often the sermon will follow something of tracing and emphasizing and highlighting the key events in the redemption of God's people that Yahweh has accomplished. For example, the history of God's patience with Israel, his salvific work by promising a seed to Abraham by which all the nations will, in which all the nations will be blessed, by his actual rescue of Israel out of the slavery of Egypt through the seas, through the Red Sea. And then included always is the promise and the faith of David, and how it is then one of David's seed who will sit on the throne forever. And then we find this culminating, or we find this promise fulfilled in Jesus himself. Jesus, who is rejected, who suffers, is crucified and killed by those who oppose him, and yet then rises from the dead. Similarly, when Paul is preaching to the Gentiles, a similar kind of evangelistic sermon, if you will, we see an example of this in Acts 17. while he won't necessarily trace the history of the redemption of Israel as much, he will emphasize instead God's patient provision and care for all the nations. So this theme of God's patience is emphasized in these sermons. And even Paul uses the language that God shows his patience and his providence in hopes that some of the Gentiles will call upon him. But now, finally, that his patience and his mercy is revealed in the man Jesus Christ, in which there is salvation, and although he suffered, although he was crucified, he has risen from the dead. And in this resurrection, we see that there is salvation. So we can see that in both of these audiences, whether they are Jews or God-fearers on the one hand, or Gentiles who don't really know the history of Israel, the account of the gospel, the account of God's salvation, culminates in the resurrection. For it is in the resurrection not only that God proves that Jesus is the one who works the forgiveness of sins and accomplishes salvation, but it's in the resurrection itself that this is actually accomplished. It's in the resurrection of the man, Jesus Christ, that man finds that he is reconciled. Through the release from death, we see that sin no longer has hold over man, and so that there can now be eternal life because there is forgiveness of sins. This is what the resurrection teaches us. This is the impact and point of the resurrection, is that in salvation, we are restored fully, not just in some kind of spiritual or ethereal sense, but we are restored fully in our humanity, and we are perfected in the man Jesus Christ, and we too, as members of his body, will also find that perfection in our resurrection. So there's a few things that we can draw from a text like this. First of all, is this the kind of evangelistic preaching that we might preach? How do we preach when we know that our audience maybe is not very familiar with the gospel and needs to become aware of the salvation that God accomplishes for them? Again, the proclamation of the resurrection, especially in view of Christ crucified, is in view of one who is rejected, who nevertheless is pure and perfect and has taken on the sin of the world in himself, and thereby suffers for it. So preaching the resurrection in view of this is a demonstration that there is reconciliation for all people. And this indeed should always be a theme when we preach the gospel and the saving work of Christ. And in fact, we can even see that some of the errors of the ancient world have now returned to us, and that emphasizing the resurrection over and against these errors and understanding of what salvation might look like, we can learn from these kinds of sermons that we see in Acts. So, for example, if there was a pagan notion that eternal life would somehow be a kind of freedom from the body, a putting off of the body, and a return of the spirit to some kind of perfect spiritual life, whether that was as an individual spirit or a bringing, a gathering back into a kind of unified spirit. Over and against this, Paul, Peter, the apostles, the first generation of Christians, preach the resurrection of the body. For it is in our bodies that we find our existence, and it is in our bodies that God loves us and cares for us and brings us into perfection. Similarly, in today's world, when some might imagine that to put off the burdens of the body of the natural world with all of its sufferings, with its kind of inconstancy, and to somehow be released from this is a theme again that we hear. And so preaching that it is not that we lose our body, but in fact that our bodies are restored, that they are perfected, is again a point of emphasis that we can keep in mind when we are preaching, both to those who need to hear the gospel, and even, we will find in some cases, to those who have been longtime Christians. God has created you, a human being, body and soul. These together are who you are. And he loves you, and he resurrects you with this same soul and body and promises such eternal life. What is the kind of encouragement then and the consolation and the power and meaning of the resurrection. We can see this in the three Bible passages that St. Paul quotes in this passage. I will give the holy and sure blessings of David to him. This is from Isaiah 55. The holy and sure blessings of David are that his seed will sit on the throne forever. How can a person sit on the throne forever unless he is alive? And so it is by raising him from the dead that he is able to accomplish these promises and this redemption is fulfilled. Similarly, you will not let your Holy One see corruption. The Holy One, Jesus Christ, pure and perfect, nevertheless suffering by taking our sins upon himself, he does not see corruption because he is raised out of the grave. His body does not deteriorate, but instead, in his purity and in his holiness, he is now glorified and enters into heaven on our behalf. And finally, interestingly, this passage from Psalm 2, "You are my son, today I have begotten you," both here and in Hebrews, where it is also quoted in Hebrews 5, it's associated with the resurrection. It is, in this sense, when Jesus, raised from the dead, is confirmed, if you will, in his sonship, because he now will perpetually and eternally carry out the work of his sonship. That is to say, a high priest on our behalf, an intercessor on our behalf, the firstborn of all creation, the first man to enter into the holy place before God, but a place that he brings all of us, God's children. And so it is as the true Son of God from eternity, as he makes you sons through baptism, you also enter in. Finally, our text concludes with a warning. St. Paul says, "Beware lest what is said in the prophets should come about for you. Look, you scoffers, be astounded and perish. For I am doing a work in your days, a work that you will not believe even if one tells it to you." Here, St. Paul is picking up on the importance of paying attention to witnesses, to testimony, where there are two or three witnesses, and in this case, many more, the 12 apostles, the many whom Christ appeared to, up to 500 during the 40 days that he walked upon the earth after his resurrection, to give attention to these witnesses that Christ is indeed raised from the dead and therefore is bringing us with him, and that we should not harden our hearts, that we should not turn away and think of this as of no account or of no importance, or that we have other more important things in this life to give our attention to. Give your attention to the resurrection of the man Jesus Christ. Give your attention to this. Do not harden your hearts. Turn again every day, multiple times a day, to the scriptures where this promise is repeated to you, where this promise is assured to you, where the testimony is given to you, so that you also can be comforted, you can be assured, you can find constancy in a wavering world, knowing that you also have been reconciled in his flesh, in his body, and are brought before him, forgiven, justified, and are being made holy. To Christ be all the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
In our prayers, we give thanks with Reverend Lambert for a successful eye surgery. I cry to you, O Lord. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. My mouth is filled with your praise. Every day I will bless you. By awesome deeds, you answer us with righteousness. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
And all that is within me, bless his holy name.
He redeems your life from the pit.
And crowns you with steadfast love and mercy.
Hear my prayer, O Lord.
Let my heart be with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, by the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, you destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light. Grant that we who have been raised with him may abide in his presence and rejoice in the hope of eternal glory. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Almighty God, we give thanks for your gracious care of Richard, who has successfully undergone surgery. Restore him fully to health and strength in your time and according to your good and merciful will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
I thank you,
my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have had his life from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all
let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.